B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Without further ado, the influencer himself from ESPN, friend of the program, Dan Orlovsky. Dan, how are you, buddy?
What's going on, man? How are you, bud?
What's up, Dan?
I just want to say you are doing a great service to our 6 o'clock audience who rarely get a guest as good as yourself, my friend.
Oh, I mean, I've never had such praise coming onto a 6 o'clock radio show.
Now, Dan, what motivated you to put out the film that was highly influential of the Philadelphia fan base regarding Carson Wentz and his wide receivers and the wide receiver coaches of the Philadelphia Eagles?
I mean, there wasn't really an initial motivation, to be honest with you, Mark. Like, I watch every game. I rewatch every game that happens in the NFL, and I don't really go in with a motive of trying to find something. I just watch it and kind of let my eyes take me where they're going. And obviously the conversation was, man, Carson Wentz is playing so poorly. So I think in my mind I initially had the thought, like, there's no way that he's playing this bad. Like, that's an unrealistic viewpoint. And I think it's a, I don't want to use the word lazy viewpoint, but it's an uneducated viewpoint, I guess you want to call it. And so just watching the game, I saw one play where I was like, man, that's bad by the wide receiver. And then I saw another play where it's bad, and this was within the first 10 plays of the game. And so as the game's going on, I'm starting writing down on my notes, second quarter, 11 minutes, second quarter, 7 minutes, second quarter, 6, and I'm like, man, look at all these plays that this is just poor depth or leverage or angle or alignment or whatever by the receivers. And so I sent out a tweet saying, man, that the performance by the Eagles receivers on Sunday with the details was awful. And then a bunch of people replied saying, prove it. You know, like,
okay.
Show us video. And I said, this is the wrong site to say something like that because I can. And so I just went to Twitter and kind of made a quick video to kind of show, hopefully people can understand that those little details are the difference between completions and incompletions.
So overall, how would you grade Carson Wentz's performance Sunday against the Seahawks?
Yeah, I would say average. You know, if you're putting a letter grade on it,
yeah,
it's a C. I'm not. I think that what people don't understand is when I make a claim or say something like I did about the receivers, I'm not absolving Carson Wentz. I don't think Carson's. I expected him to be the MVP of the league, and he's obviously not playing at that level. But this is not a, man, Carson Wentz is falling off the planet. He doesn't know how to play football anymore. We have to move on from him and trade him and get Nick Foles back type thing. Like, this is a quarterback that's playing average football, and he's playing with below-average players who are executing at a below-average level. And so we often talk about football in a finite level, but we forget that it is incredibly tied together. And football isn't just complementary when it comes to offense and defense. It's complementary when it comes to the individualized unit as well. And so if I suck as a quarterback, but my receivers are balling, my receivers aren't going to play as well as they should be. And if I'm stinking as a receiver and I'm balling as a quarterback, well, my performance isn't going to be the same. So he's playing average football but getting well below average results.
Tell me this. When you go back and you look at, because one of the criticisms is that he holds on to the ball a little too long. Do you think that's because he's waiting on these receivers? They're not running the right route. The spacing isn't there. They're not where they're supposed to be at times?
Yeah, sure. I think it's a little bit of everything, man. Like, you're exactly right that those receivers – all right, I'm used to Alshon or Deshaun or, you know, I'm used to Ertz getting out of this cut right now. And I'm, where are you? Like, especially when teams are putting their hands on these receivers, like, get open. Now, here's the thing here's the reality of Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz is a big play quarterback. He is a Superman mindset quarterback. I said this before. In 2017, he was Patrick Mahomes before Patrick Mahomes was in 2018, right? And so that thought process for him as a player is, I can make any play I want. I can literally make every play. But they don't have the Superman type of receivers. So Doug Peterson knows this. So really what they're doing is they're running a dink and dunk offense. with a big play quarterback. And Doug has to call a dink and dunk offense because they don't have the big play receivers, but Carson is still in big play mode. And so Carson needs to, you know, especially over the next 5 weeks, like he needs to be more Clark Kent and less Superman with his mindset. And yes, he's holding the ball too long because he's going, I can make this play. I know I've seen myself make this play. I've seen Patrick Mahomes make this play. I can go make these plays. And it at times, yes, it hurts the football team. That's just how he's wired.
It's like having a Lamborghini in rush hour.
Exactly.
I
could go make this play.
Right. I do like the idea of the more Clark Kent than Superman in this thought process. That's brilliant. Dan, I do have to ask you about this because the only play, I thought the Greg Ward hitch route that you pointed out, on point, he ran too deep. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside moved off his mark on the last throw that you broke down and the three throws you broke down. But the first one, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside in the red zone right before the overthrow to Miles Sanders. We'll get to that in a second. The only one I disagreed with was, it looked like to me that Carson threw behind J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. And if he was going to run a slant or a dig, whatever he was supposed to do on that route, it looked like it still would have been behind him. It looked like the throw took him upfield where you said he drifted. Go ahead and explain that play a little bit more.
Well, the ball ends up behind him because he drifts, yes. That's the exact point. Like, when you're a receiver and it's man-to-man coverage, like, think about, like, when you're playing tag. You're never going to drift into someone who's trying to tag you. You're going to continue to run away from them as best as you can and at the best angle that you can. When you're running a slant and it's man-to-man coverage, receivers do this all the time, that they win on the inside and then they drift upfield because that's where the end zone is. Like, let me just drift upfield. The best I was ever around was Calvin Johnson would always run, think of running away to the other sideline to make that guy try and chase you. So that ball looks like it's on its Arcega-Whiteside's backside hip because he's drifting. If he was running on a better angle, that ball is going to be on his chest or on his face mask. But he gets to a point, and then instead of continuing on that angle, it's almost like he makes a right-hand turn in a very small way with his body, and he just drifts, and that's what allows Flowers to undercut him. So, you know, you see it all the time in the NFL where the pass interference is like that guy will grab with his right hand the hip, and he'll pull the receiver and then allow that left arm to come in on that play that we're talking. Like, that's just because the receiver drifted. He never kept his body in between, really, the ball and the defender. And that's why that drift makes it look like the ball's in the back hip.
Dan, with the Eagles getting more healthy on offense, the offensive line, your top two receivers hopefully coming back, can Carson Wentz get more towards Superman as opposed to Clark Kent, or do we have to see Clark for the rest of the year?
I think you have to see Clark for the rest of the year because, listen, like, Alshon is not Alshon from 3 years ago.
Right.
I love him. I don't know him that well. But he's not Alshon from 3 years ago. He's 3 years older. And Nelson has had his struggles. And so for this team to have that December, 23rd game to really matter and to win that game at home, yeah, he needs to be more willing to play a little boring because he doesn't have the superstar player down the field. And then if he can continue, like, it's a very fine balance because there's going to come a handful of moments over the next 6 weeks where he has to be Superman. Like, he will have to do it. And he's going to have great kind of decision-making of when that moment is, but he needs to be a little bit more Clark Kent over this next 5 or 6 weeks.
What was your message to the receivers during your video? It was that be where you're supposed to be? What was that?
Be where you're supposed to be. When you're supposed to be there, don't fool the quarterback.
All
and,
right.
You know, when, I mean, you know, like, when a quarterback, when I'm playing with backup players up front, more than likely the ball's got to come out of my hands a little bit quicker, especially when you're playing against fronts that are pretty good. And so when you show me, like, the shallow cross, when Arcega-Whiteside sits down and gives me his hands, you are telling me, non-verbally, throw me the football. And so when you do that, I'm thinking, okay, here it comes. And then when you move from that spot, you sell me out, dude. Like, you can't fool me like that. If you did not give me your hands, that's fine. That's on me as a quarterback. But don't tell me that you want the football right now and then move from that spot.
Dan, last thing for you before we let you go, and we appreciate you coming on again. Speak with Dan Orlovsky, ESPN. Do you see the Eagles making the playoffs?
Mark, I do, man. I rode with them all year. I've said for 6 weeks now that it's going to come down to that home game against the Cowboys at 4:30 Sunday afternoon. So I believe in the quarterback, and I believe in the head coach. And if the defense plays the way that they've been playing, they're going to make the playoffs. Side note, the Miles Sanders throw, he's not going to score a touchdown anyway, so let it go.
I agree. I don't think he was getting to that end zone. He had two corners coming up to make the play. I agree with you on that. Dan, thanks so much for coming on. I know I haven't seen you since training camp. You haven't had like five more kids, have you?
No more kids. I'm getting another. My wife decided to get another dog.
Dan, you're the best. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Really appreciate, so happy for you, man. Doing a great job at ESPN.
I appreciate it, bud. You guys are the best, man. Have a great Thanksgiving.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.